Well, good morning once again, Pine Drive. It is good to be here with you this morning. And before we get started, I would like to thank Pastor Ted once again for entrusting me with the pulpit this morning. And again, I hope that the report that he gets from you will be a good report. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs this morning, and we're going to start in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 2. Chapter 10 and verse 1 and 2. So if you're able, please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Proverbs chapter 10, starting in verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. We thank you for the truth of it. And Father, I just pray that it will be penetrating today, and that that the people that hear your word, Lord, will know your truth and know you and come to be closer to you as they seek your face. And Father, just help us to understand what you have for us today, Lord. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So how do we apply truth and knowledge of God's word? How do we use it to live by? How do we become conformed to the image of Jesus? How do we live like Jesus Christ? The glory of what God has designed, what he has put into place for life and for knowledge, is summed up in verse number 1. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. This is God's design. This is his prescription for life for wisdom. It's a summary of how we are to live and how we are to gain understanding. It's the direction in which we must go to be successful and to have life. It is the prescription for how God intends to bless the family, the father, the mother, and children. God has built the world in a certain way, and when we go the other way, when we try to fly the airplane in a manner in which it was not designed to fly, it fails. It'll crash, it'll burn, and we'll die. God intends for his wisdom and his understanding to come from and flow through the family, and through the family is how God blesses us. Look back at verse number 2 there. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. Righteousness delivereth from death. Sin actually never really pays off. False gods never satisfy real spiritual needs. We can pursue the profit of sin and wickedness thinking all the while that it'll pay off. But it will never pay off. Never. It'll appear for a time. You may see the appearance of success in someone's sinful life, or you can attempt to fly the airplane in a way that it wasn't designed to fly, but ultimately it's going to end badly for you. The plane is going to break down and you are going to crash. It may appear for a time that people are profiting from sin, profiting from wickedness. God didn't create the world that way. Like the airplane, God created the world to function in a particular way. In time, sin and wickedness will always have an end to it of destruction. Recently, I was watching a presentation from Pastor Jeff Durbin of Apologia Church in Arizona, where he played a series of clips of people who have undergone the process of transforming their gender. Certainly a case where people are going a way that is not according to God's plan or God's design. They are, in fact, trying to fly the airplane in a way that it was never designed to fly. The creation itself is shouting God's purpose, but they feel that they need to do something different, or they're being affirmed by others to do something different, to go the other way, to go in a different direction. People today are actually advocating for destroying their bodies, mutilating their bodies, doing things to their bodies that will guarantee that they will spend the rest of their lives as a patient. Doing things to their bodies that will guarantee pain, continued surgeries, suffering throughout their life. People are saying, this is good for you. This is what you need. Don't live according to God's ways. Don't live according to the archaic principles of this book. This will profit you. You'll gain so much reward and pleasure for yourself if you oppose what all of creation is clearly shouting to you. Just oppose it. Go your own way. You will certainly profit from following your own heart, your own will, your own desire. In these series of clips were people who were post-transformation, and they talked about the severity of their pain and the severity of their difficulties. Some spoke of having to dilate numerous times a day, because when you cut things off and create a hole in the body will always do what God created it to do, which is try to heal itself, try to heal the wound. These people think that this is the answer. They are told that this is the way to happiness and fulfillment. And they spend the rest of their lives in such devastating pain and consequence. Having to do something to cover up the scent that's coming off their body because they're walking around with an open wound for the rest of their lives. Telling children, okay, you feel like a girl even though you're a boy? No problem. No problem. You want to be a girl today? You want to be an aardvark tomorrow? No problem. Whatever you want. It's not a problem. Take these drugs. Take this medication. Medication that was once given to sex offenders to chemically castrate them. But hey, guaranteeing that these children will never grow up having a normal, healthy sexual experience with a spouse. Guaranteeing that they will never be able to function normally or properly, either mentally or physically. But we tell them, this will profit you. You'll receive gain if you just go against the created order. Destroy your body. Become a permanent patient. You know, there was a time in our not too distant past where this sort of thing would have been unthinkable. But now, today, it's celebrated. Schools celebrate it. Fast food restaurants, fast food chains celebrate it. Grocery stores celebrate it. Our government celebrates it. This is June. This is Pride Month. What? Pride Month? What's that? You know, the unfortunate thing is that it's even celebrated in some of our churches today. You know, today we're starting to see the fallout from this perversion of God's plan. The testimonies of pain and suffering, suicide rates that are double and triple the national average. What's it say in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 2? What's the testimony of Scripture? Treasures of wickedness profit nothing. It's never going to pay off. It's never going to work. Why? Because false gods do not satisfy real spiritual needs. They never will. But look at the second half of verse 2. But righteousness delivereth from death. Righteousness delivereth from death. This is everything. Everything. This is what the Christian faith is all about. It's the message of Jesus Christ. It's contained right here in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 2. Here it is again. Righteousness delivers from death. Our fundamental problem, man's fundamental problem, is that we are at enmity with God. We are alienated from God. We are broken. We are rebels. We're enemies with God. Scripture tells us that we are dead. Our condition is that we are dead in our sins and our trespasses. You ever wonder what's wrong with the world? Why there's so much evil, so much brokenness, so much heartache, so much despair? Why there's so much hatred and bitterness and animosity in the world? The answer is because we abide in death. We are at enmity with God, who is the very source of life. Scripture says that it is righteousness that delivers us, that delivereth from death. There's a theme here. This concept is thematic throughout Scripture. God's wisdom that is being given to us here is everywhere in Scripture. It's consistent. It's thematic. What is it? Righteousness that delivereth from death. Note here in the text, please look up here at me. Righteousness is connected with life. Wickedness is connected with death. Righteousness delivereth from death. I got 2 points I want to make. Two. The first point is righteousness delivereth from death right now in the here and now. If you live your life righteously and skillfully, you will live long and peacefully. This is a principle of Scripture, and it's true. Righteousness delivereth from death. If we live righteously, we will live uprightly. If we live according to God's standards and God's wisdom, it will deliver us from death here and now. Look at me, or look with me. You don't have to look at me. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 1. We'll start in verse 7. You see this wisdom principle demonstrated here in the beginning of Proverbs, and it is foundational. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Then the text moves directly into verse number 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Here it is again. It's thematic. Wisdom comes through the family. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We don't need the family. We don't need moms and dads. It's okay to have two mom families and a two dad family or a one mom family. We don't need the families anymore, right? That's what the world's telling us. We don't need the family today. What does Scripture say? Look back at verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down to the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our house with spoil. The prophet of wickedness is promoted. It's promoted in the world right now today. It's a feature of sinners. When they come together in groups, it's a feature. Let's profit from the sin. Let's find a way to gain from all this sin and wickedness. That's what the world is all about. This is what the sinners are saying in this text. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 2 tells us that it is what they're going to say. These are the promises of sin and groupings of sinners. Let's find a way to turn our sin, our hatred, our malice, our evil, our wickedness into actual profit. Verse 14, cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. But what's the instruction of God? What's the instruction of God? Look at verses 15 through 19, starting in verse number 15. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Verse 17, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. People who run afoul of this principle are doing it to themselves. They are killing themselves. Verse 18, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. The world says, yes, you can have it all. You can do whatever you want to do. You can be whatever you want to be. It's all good. Pursue your desires. Do what turns you on, man. Verse 19. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Hey, folks, there are consequences to this kind of thinking. The church is not exempt from this. How many times have you heard about some preacher or some pastor who has destroyed his life and his family due to the lure of the world? You don't have to look very far. Just look up the street. They've destroyed their lives for sex, money, and fame. They've destroyed the lives of their families. What consequences does righteousness deliver us from? What consequences does righteousness deliver us from? It delivers us from broken families, from destroyed marriages, from the love that is lost, from children that are broken and living in separate homes because of someone else's sin. Yes, righteousness delivers from death right now, in the here and now. Point number two. This principle, righteousness delivereth from death, it's actually at the heart of the gospel itself. This scriptural principle, this word from God, has everything to do with our relationship with God and the gift of eternal life. If you do not have righteousness, then you are still dead. If you do not have righteousness, then you are not saved. I'll say it again. If you do not have righteousness, you are not saved. This righteousness that you need for salvation will never be found in you. It will never come from you. In the very beginning, in Genesis, we read about the creation, how God in His magnificence creates everything through the spoken word. Then He creates man from the dust of the earth, and then from man He creates woman. In the image of God, He created them, man and woman, male and female, He created them. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 9, the Bible says, lo, this only I have found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. It is clear from Scripture that God created Adam and Eve, our first parents, from whom all descend. We are all of the same blood. He created them upright, not perfect yet, but upright. They were in a time of testing. They were not yet in a place of righteousness because they were in a time of testing before God. It was a simple time of testing. God said, this, but not that. You can have all of this, but you can't have that. And the day that you take of that, you will surely die. Righteousness delivereth from death. It is at the very beginning of Scripture. This particular text, righteousness delivers from death, is true for Adam and Eve. It would have kept them alive. It would have kept them from death. So when I say the principle is foundational, I mean from the beginning foundational. Thematic throughout Scripture. Righteousness is linked to salvation through Scripture. So when I say to you, apart from righteousness, you will not be saved. Apart from righteousness, you will stay dead. It's because Scripture connects salvation and righteousness. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 45, beginning in verse number 8. Isaiah 45 and verse number 8. Note here how God connects righteousness with salvation. Isaiah 45 verse 8, the text says, "Drop down ye heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation. And let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it." Do you see the connection here? Do you see it? Salvation and righteousness are connected together. Now let's just drop down to verse 24 and 25. Verse 24, "Surely shall one say, in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are increased against him shall be ashamed." Verse 25, "In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory." It is again, righteousness and salvation intimately connected together. Salvation, righteousness, justification. Now look, let's look at Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46 and starting in verse number 12. Isaiah 46 and 12. "Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be afar off, and my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel my glory." Once again, we see righteousness connected with salvation. From the beginning all the way through the Bible, this is a cornerstone principle. Let's see this one more time. Look with me at Isaiah chapter 51, beginning in verse number 4. Isaiah 51, verse 4. "Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation. For a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and mine arms shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on my arm shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment. And they that dwell therein shall die in like manner, but my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished." Praise God. So here's the point. God connects righteousness and salvation, intimately linked together. Apart from righteousness, you and I will not be saved. Without righteousness, there is no salvation, only death. If you want to see this, I want you to see this with your own eyes. I want you to understand this in your own heart. So turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse number 20. Here the Apostle Paul is explaining the gospel. And here's what he says in verse 20. "For when ye were the servants of sin..." Who's he talking to here? He's talking to Christians. He's talking to Christians. "Ye were the servants of sin. When ye were the servants of sin, you were far from righteousness. What fruit had ye in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. So the fruits of your sin and your unrighteousness is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen." See, this is the problem that plagues all of mankind. We are dead in our sins and our trespasses. How was man created? Man was created uprightly. Uprightly. But he sought out many devices. He disobeyed God. Wickedness and unrighteousness lead to death. We are dead, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the story. You are dead. God makes you alive, but how does he do it? How does he do it? Well, it's his righteousness connected with his salvation. Go to Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse number 10. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 10. Paul here indicts all of mankind, the Jew and the Gentile. He puts everyone on an even playing field. We are all at the same place before the cross of Christ. How does he describe it? Here it is, verse number 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That includes us. It's pretty inclusive, that statement. Verse number 13. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Where have you heard that before? Proverbs. Verse 16. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God in their eyes. Paul is saying what God has always said. There is none righteous. The wages of sin is death. You are not righteous. You're a slave to sin. This is where we all are. I'm here. You're here. We're all here. We're dead. We're unrighteous. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. But Paul says the problem is that no one is righteous. Do you not see this as a problem? A problem for you and for me and for all of mankind? Because what is Paul saying? No one is righteous. And it's only righteousness that delivers from death. But you're not righteous. So how is the problem solved? Righteousness delivers us from death. Romans chapter 3. Look in Romans chapter 3, starting in verse number 21. Here Paul explains the law of God and how it could never be used to gain righteousness in God's eyes. It was never intended for that purpose. The law was given to unrighteous people, a people that could never attain righteousness through law keeping, because why? They were already broken. James tells us that if you keep the law and stumble in one thing, you are guilty of the whole law. You cannot be righteous through your own obedience. It will never happen. You're already dead. You're already failed. It's absolutely hopeless to attempt to obey God's law at any point in your life to be made right with God. He is a God of mercy, forgiveness, and salvation. And that's how you attain righteousness. Through him and him alone. You can't do it pre-Christ to become reconciled to God. And people, please hear me. You can't do it as a Christian either. You're not going to get right with God through your obedience, through the sanctification process. You cannot gain righteousness in yourself. It will never happen. Only righteousness delivers us from death. But you will never attain it through your obedience. You're never going to get it through your own good works. You need a foreign righteousness. The law will never do it. So what does it? Well, here it is. Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse number 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ upon all, unto all, upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 25. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Verse 26. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Paul is pointing to the purpose and the beauty of the cross. Why? Because righteousness delivers us from death, and the problem is we are all dead. The problem is that there is none righteous. There is none righteous. No, not one. What God is telling you is that it is only righteousness that delivers you from death. But what's true is that none are righteous. There are none that does good. There are none that seek God. Paul is telling us that it is God in the person of Jesus Christ who took on flesh. He's the righteous one. He's the blameless one. He's the law-keeping one. He's the perfect Adam. He's obedient in every way. He has no malice. He has no deceit in his mouth. Jesus goes to the cross so that God's righteousness and salvation can be kept together. He is saving people at the cross and remaining a righteous God. And he's doing it by giving us a righteous substitute so that those that are dead can have righteousness that makes them alive and gives them salvation. Paul then goes on to explain in chapter 4 how. How? Because we aren't righteous. And the principle in Scripture is that righteousness delivers from death. So how does it happen? God will never fail in his justice, people. He is a perfect judge. So how does he do it? He does it by his grace. And he does it without perverting his justice. He does it with a cross. At the cross, the Father gives to the Son, Jesus, the penalty that was reserved for you and me. At the cross, Jesus receives the full wrath of the Father because of that one act. God's justice, God's judgment passes over you and I and is borne completely by Jesus. So Paul's point is God remains just. And the one that is declared righteous is the one that has faith in Jesus. But there's more. Romans chapter 4 beginning in verse 1. Romans chapter 4 beginning in verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of death, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted to what? To righteousness. What do you need, folks? What do you need? What do you need to deliver you from sin and death? In order to be delivered from sin and death, you need righteousness. You need righteousness. According to Paul here, how do you get that righteousness? Well, look at verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You want that righteousness? You want that salvation that is connected with righteousness? It's only through faith in Christ. It's only through faith in Jesus. It is only in faith in the one that is actually righteous. You want the promise of delivery from death and that salvation? You have to be righteous, but you're not. So you need the righteousness of the other. This is why Paul said, this is counted to you. It's credited to you. You're not righteous, but the Father says to you, on the basis of another, I give you as a gift my righteousness. I deliver you from death through my work, through my righteousness. It's because of my love, because of my mercy. What does it lead to? It leads to something absolutely incredible. Look at Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse number 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Therein lies the substance of the gospel, all wrapped up in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 2. Righteousness delivereth from death. But how are we going to get from where we are, unrighteous and dead, to where we need to be, salvation and righteousness? The answer is Jesus Christ. The answer is the gospel. Look with me now at Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 15. Here, Paul is describing the difference in what we get from one of the representatives of humanity, man, Adam, and what that inheritance leads to, and then the other representative of humanity, Jesus, the righteous one, and what that inheritance brings. Beginning in verse 15, it says, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abound unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For it is by one man's offense death reigned by one, which more they which receive abundance of grace, and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 2 is the substance of our hope in Jesus Christ. Righteousness delivers us from death. What did we get from Adam? What did we inherit from Adam? We got death. Because why? Because of what? Because of his unrighteousness, because of his sin against God. But what Jesus gives us is the free gift of what? Righteousness. Righteousness. Paul gives us the foundation of all of this as he explains the gospel in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." They shall live by faith. They will walk around with faith. They will live in the here and now by faith. And then they will live forever, eternally, because of their faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The principle of Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 2 is carried through all of the writings of the Apostle Paul as he's describing the relationship of righteousness and life. To live and not die before God, one must have righteousness, and that righteousness comes only by faith in Jesus Christ. So here's my challenge to you, to us, to humanity. Paul explains that it can't be done by us. It can't be done by you. In Romans chapter 10, in verse 1, Romans chapter 10, verse 1, here's what he says. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. Where is that happening today? If you can't see it, you've been living under a rock. Because it's everywhere. Living for our own righteousness. Have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Righteousness delivers from death. So what's wrong with those people? What's wrong with them? They're trying to establish their own righteousness. What's wrong with the world today? What's going on out there everywhere? What's going on? What's happening? These people are running around trying to establish their own righteousness. They have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That's the freedom of the gospel. That's the hope of the gospel. Please, everyone look up here at me. If you don't hear anything else that I'm saying today, please hear this. It is only through faith in Jesus Christ that we have a righteousness that is acceptable before God. It is only in faith in Jesus. It is only through faith in Jesus. And it is only received as a gift. Paul is telling us we must submit to Christ. So what is the culmination of all this? Wherein lies the hope for humanity, for you and for me? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse number 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As through God did beseech you, by us we pray you, in Christ's stead be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Do you see it? Do you see it, people? Salvation and righteousness connected throughout Scripture. It's always the same story. So what is it that we need for salvation? Righteousness. What do we have in Jesus? A God who made him to become sin on our behalf so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We as God's people, we as Christians, those of us that are saved by grace and righteousness that we did not deserve, have a weighty responsibility as ambassadors for Christ to tell others of their need for righteousness and how it will deliver them from death. Where are you? Do you have the righteousness of God? Have you humbled yourself before Christ? Have you submitted to Christ? Do you have the righteousness of God that can only come through faith in Jesus? And if you do, who are you telling about it? Who are you sharing it with? Are you going out into the highways and the byways and compelling them to come in to be under the teaching of God's Word, to the truth of the Scripture, so they can enjoy the blessings of righteousness like you? Are you? We have such a huge responsibility as Christians. God gave everything for his righteousness to be imputed to us. What are we doing for God? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your blessings. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. God, I thank you that you are long-suffering and that you wait. Despite our failings, despite our ignorance, despite our animosity, our anger, our frustration. Lord, when we shake our fist at you and say, "Why, God?" You're still there. You still come to us. When we turn our face to you, Lord, when we turn our back to sin and we say, "God, forgive me." You are right there to forgive. You are quick to forgive, slow to anger. You are gracious and merciful to us. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your love and for your provision in our lives. I thank you for the opportunity to stand here today and to speak the words of truth from your word, from your scripture. Your word is truth. And God, I just pray that maybe if there was some here that heard this in this sanctuary or online today, that the words of Jesus will come clear to them. That they will know that they need righteousness, but they can only get it through faith in Christ. We love you, Lord, and we praise your holy name. And we thank you for everything that you give us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If there is anybody that would like to come forward, or if you'd like to come forward just to pray, this is your time to do that. So please, come forward if you wish to.